Hello and welcome back to Spill the Chai, and we're recording literally a week after our last one.
Woohoo.
So hello, I'm your host Rabia.
And I'm Ritha.
It's been a week, a lot has happened, and I feel like we can't do the rich tea topic of any other topic apart from talking about Palestine and what's been going on there and the occupation of Palestine specifically. And I'm going to be pretty mostly quiet on this section, and I'll tell you why. And it's because I know that you've been a supporter of the BDS movement and the Free Palestine movement, I think ever since we got reconnected. And I just remember, I actually remember you were pregnant with Zora at the time, and you and Chris came to stay, and you were off meat at the time. So I just remember I had like really like vivid memories, and you like staying over. I can't remember what it was or whether we like mentioned, I think because there was a Marks and Spencer's around the corner from us, and we were like, oh, I'll just nip to get this. And you, that's when you started talking about the BDS movement, and I was like, what? Like, what are you talking about? And that's kind of where my education stemmed from. It was from you, you know, talking to me about various organizations to boycott because they fund in the millions the occupation of Palestine and specifically the actions of the Israeli government and fund their endeavors, horrific endeavors. And so I feel very much still like a newbie in this space, and every now and again, if like a brand contacts me, I might be like, Ritha, like, is this okay? Like, I'll just check with you, because like, you know the stuff. And it goes beyond boycotting brands, like, okay, you know, and I'll let you like go into it. But I just wanted to put like my view first of like, in terms of, I was introduced to that through you, and I didn't really have any other lens apart from what gets shared in the mainstream news at the time. And we're talking over 10 years ago when I was first made aware of this. And I was also hyper aware that it became very contentious to talk about it specifically online. And I'm sure we'll touch upon that too. But I would love to sort of understand, like, from you, when did your awareness first arise, and your journey into supporting BDS and so on?
So yeah, it was off meat when I was pregnant with Zora. I'd forgotten about that. It's interesting because, talking about my babies, I took them to the protest in Birmingham on Saturday. And we went, we got there late, and we weren't there for like longer than 45 minutes, I don't think. Mm-hmm. But it was beautiful. And I think we got there at the right time. And it was just really beautiful. And then Zora was feeling nervous. She was like, she didn't want to chant at first. And I could sense and see that she was nervous. And then, so, you know, I held her through that and was like, you know, I can see that you're nervous. I was like, it's okay. It's quite exciting to see everybody together in this way, isn't it? I was like, isn't it beautiful to see everybody has come together for the, you know, to speak up about something horrible that
to
is
join
happening.
The voices together.
Yeah, like, I was like, isn't it amazing that everybody's here? And then actually, as we were marching, random people on the side saw us marching and were like clapping us and stuff like that, which I thought was really beautiful as well. And oh my God, I said beautiful so many times the last episode. Can you just shut me up every time I say beautiful? I need a thesaurus next to me. It was
lovely. I keep saying lovely is like a word that I use all the time. So between us, it's just going to be
beautiful. Yeah,
it was
and lovely.
It was beautiful.
It's our version of like
we need more
light and love.
I know that must have been quite the because Zora's now of an age where she will have very strong memories, and Dahlia too, because she's going to be five. So
yeah.
These are values that you're instilling in them from the bat, really.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it will stick with them. But how did you get involved with the movement? Because when we got reconnected back in 2011 and on, I remember this sort of, yeah, I remember you talking about this, and I'll be like, honest, I was kind of taken aback, not in a bad way, but I was like, whoa, I didn't know you felt so strongly about this stuff, and I don't know about it and not enough about it.
Yeah.
And that's where the ripple effect, I think, is so important with your friendships and your relationships is mm-hmm. when you stand for something and you're vocal about it, it does influence other people.
Yeah.
Because they become curious. So how did you, like, what was your exposure like to this movement?
Well... It was interesting because I remember, like, in the background on the news, when I was little, I'd hear, like, the words Gaza Strip, Gaza Strip. I had really no idea where it was. I was too young to really, like, you know, notice or pay attention or properly ask questions. But, you know, like, it'd be, like, the BBC News or Channel 4 News on in the background in the house, and you'd hear those words and... they state, you know, like the Gaza Strip, and that I knew that there was a war happening there, and that it wasn't a good situation, and so I had that in the very back of my mind. But it was actually in 2008, like the winter of 2008, I think December, when Israel attacked Gaza, literally bombarded them with bombs.
Was this Operation Castled? Was that the one that they called it?
Yeah, I call it Castled. I think it's Castled. Yeah,
sorry.
No, it's okay.
Castled.
I could be. No, it could be Lead. I don't know.
It may well be.
I think Operation Castled, aka the Gaza War. People call it that as well. I think that is. Problematic because, you know, the Gaza war makes it sound like it was a war on Gaza.
The numbers of the, and I hate saying the number, the people, the Palestinians,
yeah,
the death toll was
horrific. And at this time, so we had access to a channel called Press TV. Mm-hmm. And they were showing live footage from journalists. So it wasn't like a social media thing. I barely had social media back then. And so I was seeing live footage of the bombs landing. I was seeing live footage of hospitals that were lined with bodies and it was specifically Norwegian surgeons who were there, who were reporting, and they were just like, there were literally bodies everywhere. There were bodies all in the hallway and on stretchers and in rooms. The hospitals were full.
Mm-hmm.
And it was horrific. My heart just broke. It broke, and I couldn't unsee, and I couldn't not act. After seeing that, after seeing those images, it was undeniable truth. It was undeniable truth. I don't care how you feel about anything else. It is undeniable truth that they were killing civilians indiscriminately. And that is wrong. It's a war crime. Full stop.
Yeah. And there's still been no justice to this day.
No, they're doing it again right now. So
yeah, it's a continued genocide.
And Palestinians and Gazans are saying that what's happening right now is worse than Operation Castled. And for to sort of show like how disgusting that kind of idea is, that it's worse already because, you know, this is about week in now. Longer because it hasn't ever stopped, but the
No.
escalation
Yeah.
on Israel's part has stepped up, and specifically the bombing, because they live under horrific conditions anyway, constant oppression and
It's an open
apartheid.
air prison. They can't leave.
The whole of Palestine is really, it's
Yeah,
very
yeah.
restrictive.
It's an apartheid. There was
It
a
is an
video
apartheid, yeah.
shared yesterday. I think it might have been you or possibly you or someone else, but it was an IGTV that was done from, I think, Al Jazeera, and they were talking about the different kind of statuses that Palestinians get, which is so restrictive. I mean, they have no voting rights. Everything is so, like you say, is controlled by the Israeli government. And if they even move from one area to another, they can lose a lot more. So it's very, yeah, it's
They can only
stifling.
downgrade, that's what they say in that video. They can only downgrade, and once they downgrade, they can't move back up. So if they move from the West Bank, say to Gaza, then they're stuck there. Like they won't be allowed to move anywhere out of that. And same with like East Jerusalem to the West Bank. They can only downgrade from there. But yeah, so Operation Chassid,
Was a huge
and
sort of
that was
catalyst
the
for your
awakening, yeah, for me. I was like old enough, and it was horrific. I'll never forget those images of like the surgeons coming out and speaking briefly, and you know the it and they used white phosphorus. It's a chemical weapon. Basically, white phosphorus burns essentially. It burns the skin immediately, and it creates a lot of smoke, and the smoke inhalation is it's not nice. I don't think that actually inhaling the smoke harms specifically, but it can it's an irritant. But it burns the skin. It burns
So
the
it was
skin.
it they used that with the intention of causing pain.
Wait, it it's you're not allowed. You're not allowed. It's a war crime to use that. It's a war crime to use that. They bomb that in civilian areas. So
It's
children,
disgusting.
so children were getting. I mean, I saw the images. These were live images, so it's undeniable. It's not anything that could have been
Disputed
like
or
it couldn't have been manipulated on like Photoshop or any of this, because I know this comes up a lot when you speak about things. I saw it on a post just this morning that somebody was like, "Oh no, that's an Israeli child," and the person who had posted the picture of the child was like, "That's literally my fucking cousin's child, so fuck off." You know, like this is the kind of thing. This is the fight back, is that this is a tool of supremacy, and this is a tool of oppression and apartheid, that you're constantly having to prove your humanity, that you exist. And this is why it feels so unjust to me. Like, and the parallels are clear, like between, you know, Palestine and what happens in the US. The parallels are clear, you know. And if you don't take my word for it, take Angela Davis, because I know a lot of you were posting Angela Davis quotes, right? Last June, from June onwards, I know you've been posting her. Look up her book. She has Freedom is a Constant Struggle, I believe, by Angela Davis. Angela Y. Davis. I'm listening to it at the moment. But the parallels are clear. It, you know, you're constantly asked to prove your humanity. And it's not just, it is the world over. Like, this is happening. Come on, Kashmir. It's happening to other marginalized identities. Medina from Burkas and Bia speaks about, like, the, I don't know how you say it properly, Artsakhs. I'm going to have to find out how to pronounce it properly, apologies. And the Armenians and Afghanis who are being pushed out of their own land by Pakistanis. And it's happening in Colombia. It's been happening. This is not, you know, the fact that when you're fighting for Black liberation, you're fighting for Palestine. When you're fighting for Palestine, you're fighting for Black liberation. You're fighting for liberation. It is interconnected. You have to realize that it is interconnected. These struggles, these oppressions are not, then they don't exist in a vacuum of themselves. They don't.
No.
It is the same beast. That's what I keep saying, because to me it is a beast. It's just, it's this like monstrous entity that has like attacked all of these places
and shapeshifted
exactly and spread
over
it's spread
years.
It's like a virus, you know.
Absolutely. So Operation Castled was like your
awakening.
And then what did sort of, what happened after that? You know, what did you do after?
Well, I attended protests. I like wrote to MPs. I joined the BDS movement. I support it. And this isn't something that I've said publicly. It's something that I've had to keep quiet because of the pushback and the doxing that folks get. And yeah, so it's, you know, as these like events have unfolded right now, I've been watching with my heart in my mouth. And if you had signed up to my newsletter and you got my newsletter, in my newsletter, I write about how I was being cautious. And I understand anybody who has fear around speaking up, for the fear of being doxxed and,
abused.
Like, because I don't even care about the trolls. But, you know, I already know folks who are getting death threats by the dozen. People who are Palestinian in the diaspora, who are speaking up, their families who are still in Palestine are at risk of being evicted from their homes, of being violently attacked. This is a reality. And I'm not Palestinian, but actually when you, I do love it. One of the, you know, if you haven't been to a protest, just get to a protest. They're amazing places to be. And one of the chants is, I don't know what the first bit is, but you basically chant, "We are all Palestinian." And it's really, you know, you see a sea of faces that either look like yours, don't look like yours. They look in all, you know, it's all different people. When you go to a protest, you really realize that it is about humanity. More than any other place, you realize that it's about humanity. So I think,
and that collective push and collective,
it's
voice
about a collective
calling for change.
Yes, exactly. It has to be done collectively. We have to do it together, because what, you know, one of the most efficient tools of supremacy is to divide us. It works. We have been divided, and now people are having to prove their humanity in order to be able to push for change. And I think that's unacceptable. I think it's deplorable, despicable, disgusting. So I attended protests, and then the BDS movement, so that's boycotts, divestment and sanctions.
Yeah.
And BDS, they, and so I used to go around, I used to have a whole pile of stickers that I got from Friends of Al-Aqsa, that said boycott Israeli goods. I'd stick them on all the fruit and veg in Waitrose and Tesco's and Sainsbury's,
that.
like any supermarket I went to. And I used to hide the fruit and veg as well that came from Israel. And now people will say, oh, but you know, it's you're harming Palestinians. Oh, fuck off. Fuck off is what I say to you, because they have, if they have to work there, they're working under oppression. Okay. It's the same way, like if you're going to support, you know, if you're going to support like the sort of abolition of fast fashion in the way that it's operating right now in factories and stuff like that, it's the same thing. It's the same thing. They're having to work in factories, but under oppression, right? It's not, I'm not harming them. No, the oppression is harming them. So I feel like it's a stupid thing to say, essentially. I get why people say it, but it's
It's
not.
a dumb shit argument.
It's a dumb shit argument. It's whataboutism. Like, fuck off with that. So that's what I used to do, and did for years. And
But there are some brands that I do not go near because of you. Like SodaStream is like one of them. Like I
Yeah,
will
so
not go near
I
them.
know, well, SodaStream, I mean, it's been very difficult because I know they've had a resurgence recently. You know, like they've worked with influencers and stuff like that, and I've seen and some of my friends have worked with them, and I gently let them know that, well, one particular friend, without judgment, I would say, you work with them if you want to. I'm not going to judge you, because I do understand that it's complex in terms of, because the thing is, you would have to boycott everybody essentially. Like you do get to a point where you're like, I just need to divest from every big corporation, essentially. And it's difficult when we're living in a capitalist society.
Although the BDS movement talk about targeted boycott, which I like the idea of. So it's not boycotting everybody, but it's definitely specific organizations
Yes, yeah.
that they call to divest from to send a very clear and strong
Because it
message.
works. That's why that, you know, there was huge opposition to it, because they know it works. It worked. And you know, it, the idea was adapted from the BDS movement for the South African apartheid. It worked. It worked in South Africa. South Africa has stood with Palestine for decades. And they, you know, yeah, the BDS movement does work. And so, yeah, and actually, you know, one amazing thing was in Brighton, there was a SodaStream shop. And due to protests there every weekend, they closed down. So it was
Good.
great. It was great.
Fuck off SodaStream.
Yeah, no, it was really beautiful to see. I was just like, I said beautiful again. It was just,
Was lovely.
oh my God, I don't even know.
Heartening.
Heartening. Yeah, it was joyful to see it working, to see a
Collective
tangible,
voice,
yeah, exactly. Like,
an impact, a tangible impact based on
yes,
that collective solidarity. Yeah, for
exactly. And
sure. Is
that is
there an
beautiful.
that is beautiful, lovely, heartening,
It
joyful, all the
is so full. I
expletives.
love it. I'm gonna look up a thesaurus like this.
Whilst you look up the thesaurus, are there any other brands that you don't go near that you would recommend other people to also stay clear from?
Well, I can tell you who I boycott. I won't ask others to, because I don't know everybody's situation.
Okay, fine,
But
Who do you boycott then?
I can say who I boycott and why, and who I have boycotted. So, massive ones are L'Oreal. Not only do they have factories there making, so L'Oreal's huge, by the way. So they
And they're
own,
not cruelty-free either.
they're not cruelty-free either. So if you're not going to boycott them for that, don't use them because they're not cruelty-free. But also, they're huge. So you might not know all of the brands that L'Oreal own. So they
Well,
own
Estée Lauder,
Yves Saint Laurent, and
Yves
they
Saint
also
Laurent,
La Roche-Posay. Is it La
La
Roche?
Roche-Posay,
And Garnier. People don't realize that they're also Garnier. And so, I mean, you can look it up. It's on L'Oreal's own
there's
website
loads.
who they own.
So
And
you boycott L'Oreal and all their associated brands.
yes, I do. And I have done now for 13 years, and it was although it was very tricky because Chris used to work for the Body Shop when they were owned by L'Oreal.
They're no longer, though, are
No, they're not
they?
long any longer, but it was very difficult, something that we really grappled with, and I did not feel comfortable with at all. It was weird though, because the Body Shop were, they were kind of independent, but like just owned by L'Oreal. It was a bit of a weird way that they had accrued them. I can't tell you the financial details because I don't understand it, but Chris could. But it was something that I was not
Was
comfortable
it
with.
maybe through shares?
No, it wasn't. No,
No.
they did own them. But it was not something that I was comfortable with at all.
No, I can understand. And as someone who worked for one of the largest gas and oil people, I also felt that same similar discomfort.
It's difficult. Like, I was pregnant with Zora, and
Yeah, I understand
it
that.
was
Just
difficult. But yeah, so I boycott
Yeah, just
L'Oreal.
other brands. They own
Oh yeah.
Diesel, so they have
Yes.
Victor and Ralph Lauren fragrances,
Yes.
IT Cosmetics, which I know is a popular makeup brand, Garnier,
Oh
Maybelline,
yes, yeah,
the
Maybelline.
Essie nail polish people, Roger and Gallet, which are those perfume people, Derma Blend, CeraVe, which is actually really a good cleanser, and SkinCeuticals. So they own quite a lot of Luxe as well as like non-Luxe brands.
Yeah,
But
they
the
do.
full list is on Wikipedia. Like you can, oh, as well as, yeah, the full, there's lots of things on the Wikipedia site about L'Oreal.
Yeah, they're very complicit. So
Yeah, so it's L'Oreal.
yeah, there's L'Oreal, there's Marks and Spencer,
Yeah, we often joke
which
about taking a shit in Marks and Spencer's, don't we? Like a protest shit and then running out. It's like a little
Oh
inside
my
joke.
God. I'm like, I feel like we haven't said that in a while. I'd forgotten about that. And
Might remind Lucy of it.
yeah, well, I used to be a huge fan of Marks and Spencer's. I think one Christmas I very proudly bought all of my Christmas shopping from Marks and Spencer's.
Whoa, whoa.
I know, it was pricey as well. I was like, what the hell was I thinking? So yeah, so that was obviously before I knew. And so the Marks and Spencer one is tricky, I think, for some. I've tried to find specifics about it, but my understanding is that they give a percentage of their like
Profits.
profits or their what they're worth. To specifically to the Israeli government. And so, yeah, so there's Marks and Spencer's, there's Caterpillar, who are, like they do shoes, but they also do bulldozers.
Construction.
Yeah. And they've bulldozed people as well as, like, you know,
That's
their tanks
horrible.
have that, you know, not the, I get that it's not the people from Caterpillar, but you're kind of complicit if you are selling
Are supplying
your
those,
supplying them.
yeah.
And so, yeah, there's Caterpillar, there is even BT, HP, there's
Yeah,
Intel.
HP, which is very difficult to get away from HP because
Yeah.
most laptops, or specifically Intel,
Yeah.
a lot of other companies use their tech,
Yeah. Yeah.
which is really, really tricky to get away from.
That one's very tricky. So that one's much harder.
Like a standard work laptop that I get given from the office,
Yeah.
I'm sure
Was
will have
it
an
Intel
Intel and a HP
processor?
engine somewhere
But this is the
in
thing
there.
with, like, sort of capitalism and these, like, big brands and corporations, is that they'll play for all sides, won't they? Like, they don't care as long
As
as
long as they
they're
get
millions,
their bag, and
billions. Yeah,
that's
exactly.
and it was interesting actually. I was watching a snippet from Aja's
Oh,
interview
yes.
that
Yeah.
was
With
on, was it on
Asad Rum.
Al
Yeah, Al
Jazeera
Jazeera,
as
yeah.
well? And that snippet, you know, also talks about how corporations are like psychopaths. You know, they
Yes.
don't care and they will crush people, and as long as they get richer, and they are able to, because the people that make the laws that allow them to operate are probably getting a shit ton of cash from them as well. They are allowed to continue to destroy the planet and destroy people. And so
Yeah.
it's all connected.
It is
It's
all
all
connected,
connected.
and that's why
Capitalism, white supremacy, just
they I mean
settler colonialism.
they capitalism and yeah, capitalism, colonialism, supremacy, they're like the Hydra, you know, like they're like a three-headed
Yeah,
monster.
beast.
So they're,
Yeah.
you know, it's, it, but it is all it all it
You
all
cut
is
the head of one and
interconnected.
then two more appear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm trying to think who else do I boycott? There's so many, like SodaStream, Nestlé is a massive one. Nestlé for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
also
I'm
Nestlé
also.
have shares in L'Oreal, so
Okay,
they're
so they're sniffing
interconnected.
each other's farts there.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly.
The other thing that I'm super, super careful of, like, especially around Ramadan and we're getting dates in the house and we buy dates, is I will check where they're from and I will double
Yes,
check and triple
please.
check.
Yeah, so Friends of Al-Aqsa do have been doing this, which is where I got all my stickers from,
Yeah.
is the Check the Label campaign, which is to
Yeah.
check the label to see where you're. They do it specifically with dates, but you can check. There are
Other
so many things, so
produce.
peppers, carrots. Once I've had a cucumber as well, and so we check the label, I return anything that I can that is from there,
That's good. That's really
and
good. And we should
because it's from
link it in
occupied,
the show.
yeah,
Yeah,
it's
let's
from
link it in the
occupied
show notes
land
because I think that'd be
territory,
super, super useful.
yeah. So that is a really simple way. That's probably, like, you know, the gateway to BDS is, like, simply not to buy
Yeah.
fruit and veg that is from stolen
Israel.
land. Yeah.
Yeah. Israel occupied, sorry. Oh, no, wait, I'm saying that wrong. Because
It's occupied territories of
yeah,
Palestine, but that
Stein,
I
yeah.
don't like that. I just call it Palestine.
Yeah. So that's so, I
Yes.
mean, so we spoke about, you're able to sort of talk about obviously your the catalyst into you know, joining that movement and what you do. And now we've seen this obviously the escalation happening, and there seems to be a lot more people being vocal, and you wrote about it in your newsletter as well, you know, and you described, you know, your heart in your mouth feeling. And I
Yeah.
think more and more people are feeling emboldened to speak up. They are seeing it for what it is.
Yeah.
And even though we've been bombarded with years, and I mean years and years of mainstream media narrative, which says Hamas this, Hamas that, this was a number of Israelis that were killed, and you never really hear about the other side. I think that curtain is sort of being pulled back a bit because we are now in this social media age, and there are people in Gaza themselves going on live stream on Instagram talking about what's happened the day before, and you know, I'm witnessing firsthand people who were from the first displacement, ancestors from the first sort of Nakba, are moving again, and their descendants are having to go through this again, and they're losing their homes, and there is no insurance, and we're seeing this again. We see, and now it, and people are being more vocal. How are you like from carrying this for nigh on over 10 years now, you know, like 12, 13 years, how are you feeling about this like situation now?
It's like cautiously hopeful. Basically, cautiously hopeful. It's been the biggest fight in all of this has been trying to deconstruct the conflation that is so ingrained within everybody because of right-wing media, and centralist, media, impartialist, in brackets, because I don't believe in impartiality.
Because to speak about it, people have been, and I know I have been for the last week or so, been called an anti-Semite more than I can count on my hands. And I've had to block a lot of white women specifically, which I found really like weird. Like, they were all for a lot of my things 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, but they're clearly not here for it all.
No,
So.
so that's been the biggest fight, is to kind of deconstruct this narrative that criticism of Israel and its policies and its ethnic cleansing and its continued oppression and war crimes and genocide, I could go on, is to be anti-Semitic, and it just isn't.
When we've seen other people that we know and love online speak up about something, because they already hold a marginalized identity, for example, I know black women who have spoken up and they have been dragged over hot coals in ways that have been, I feel, dehumanizing and humiliating. In ways that they never deserved, and I actually struggled to understand what they actually did wrong. But the power dynamics were that which were, I just found exhausting. I just found like, I mean, I say I found it exhausting. I wasn't the person that went through it, but it was just.
But
I struggled to understand that.
this is like a virtual, and I don't say this lightly, this is a virtual version of a public lynching, because they use as examples, this is what will happen to you if you speak up on this. And whether that is white supremacy, in terms of, the UK or the US, or whether it is criticizing the right-wing settler colonialist Israeli government, who continues its violence. There are people who are made examples of, and there's nobody who is more at risk right now who is speaking up than the Palestinians themselves, because they are at risk of being murdered. They are always anyway, but when you speak up, I know specifically, I know from people that I know personally who have friends and family in Palestine that if they, well, in the West Bank and in East Jerusalem and in occupied territories, if they spoke up about Israel, they would be at risk of being evicted and therefore never allowed back in. And they're there as, you know, in all their humanity and capacity, and have been there for centuries. So it's just, yeah, that risk, I understand why people are fearful. And the thing is, you know, this is another effective tool to silence
people.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And
to censor them.
Exactly. And so it's not just removing of posts. It is done in other ways. We've seen it.
It's controlling. If you talk about this, you will lose your job. If you talk about this, we will not give you any more work. Mm-hmm. Your livelihood will continue to decline. If you lose your job, you'll just get straight up abuse.
Yeah. And I know that I have risked that also. I mean, firstly, because I support the BDS movement as best as I am able to within my means and abilities, and you know, I've had to turn down
influence.
I've turned down big job opportunities that, you know, could have helped us financially in a lot of ways. But I've had to turn those down because it wouldn't align with my heart or my soul or my morals or my ethics. And I'm risking it further by speaking up on it. I understand that. But I couldn't not, after being involved in this for 13 years, like now, you know, it is heartening to see. It is so, I can't really put into words what it feels like to see the support
and the collective sort of voices.
Yeah,
now.
But the people that are speaking up and people are listening to them, and you're getting the backlash, but people are fighting back. People are fighting back in a public,
in a public way.
Stage.
Yeah,
and
what's really interesting. Oh, no, go on. You finish your sentence.
No, I was just going to say, and it makes it feel hugely, vastly different this time around, because not only are we able to hear Palestinians who are from, by the way, all religions, identities,
you know,
all or no religions, they're humans, they're Palestinians, is that we are finally seeing on a larger scale the Jewish community. Now, I have seen this solidarity because I've also supported Jewish Voice for Peace, who are a phenomenal organization of truth speakers. But now we're seeing it on a large scale. We're seeing the Jewish community. We're seeing Jewish influencers who are saying, no, this is wrong, that this is not anti-Semitic. Now, let me remind people that it was specifically written recently, just recently, in the UK, that to criticize Israel is to be anti-Semitic. It is, I don't even know, I think it's for people in the media. I'll look it up so we can add it. But it is specifically written here in the UK that if you criticize Israel, you are being anti-Semitic. And this, we know, is not true. It cannot be true.
It's a settler colonial estate. So
yeah.
That
but we
makes
know it's
no
not
sense.
True, because there are... Jewish people, both like in ethnicity and in a religious capacity, because, you know, it's an ethno-religious identity. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's probably a good point as well to say that the Israeli government is racist.
Yeah.
But it's as simple as that. So if you're anti-racist, if you're working towards anti-racism, how can you support them? Furthermore, they are racist to black Jews specifically. They're not allowed to donate. That live in Israel. Yeah, that live in Jerusalem. That have come as refugees. They were not allowed to donate blood because it was deemed dirty. They're not considered Jewish. Okay? There is that. You know, this kind of anti-blackness prevails in all fact, because you know it's so ingrained within the world. So
yeah,
I want to mention that too, okay, because it's important because it isn't just about like seeing like Palestinians, that there are black Palestinians. They have been there since I think the 7th century.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, there's that aspect to it, like not all Palestinians are Muslims. Palestinian Christians are being treated in the same horrific way. Churches being torn down. They're still being bombed. They're still being ethnically cleansed. It's not a religious fight.
No.
Yes, there is religion involved in it because people are using religion to conflate a white
and control.
And to control a
narrative.
To ethnically cleanse a people. They're using that. And they're using, you know, so there's a really powerful video, I can link to it in the show notes, I suppose, by Dr. Norman Finkelstein, I think you say it like that, Finkelstein, specifically stated his own parents were victims of the Holocaust. Not victims, sorry, what is the correct word? They experienced the Holocaust. One of his parents was in Auschwitz and the other one was in another camp that I can see the name, but I can't pronounce it. And he said that I will no longer let people weaponize the Holocaust to justify
ethnic cleansing.
To continue to oppress the Palestinians and to bomb them and to murder children. He'd said this explicitly. And I agree. And I don't, you only have to be human to know that this is wrong. It is wrong. It was wrong when it happened in Syria. A whole country was bombed to smithereens. We did nothing. We did nothing. I just cannot grasp, like, you know, and this is why racism does come into it, because there are brown and black people who are being ethnically cleansed the world over. And the world finds excuses.
Mm-hmm.
If anything, use religion to fight and speak up for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? Oh, I'm so pleased I haven't cried at all. Because, you know, I've cried a lot. But I haven't cried yet in this recording. So yeah. I think people really have to interrogate what excuses they're leaning on, what tropes they're relying on to excuse themselves. But I don't deny that the fear is real, and I do not expect nor will burden specifically the black community, and I wrote this explicitly on my stories as a request not for people not to badger and harass you know, specifically the black community, my black friends.
I agree
to speak
that
up on this, because it is scary, and I know that they will get a lot more violence than I will. I know that they will get a lot more abuse than I would. And, you know, And I don't, they have been speaking up on things. They have been doing the work, you know, and their joy and their existence and their doing well and their thriving is doing the work. They're showing up for people constantly, and I don't expect them to be the ones that we lean on now, especially if you are with somebody with more privilege. Yeah, especially if you're somebody with more privilege, do not go and start, because otherwise you'll have to fight me. I'll fight
Yeah, I
people.
agree with that.
Because I know that that's been happening. But if you're white and somebody with less privilege than you is asking you, listen.
Definitely. I mean, I've certainly noticed, like in the online spaces, more and more people are pushing back, and they are very specifically saying, you know, to criticize the Israeli government isn't to be anti-Semitic. And that is something that I wasn't hearing en masse before.
No.
But, you know, I'm seeing that a lot more now. So I definitely feel that there is a turning of the tide in that rhetoric, which is, I think, positive.
Yep.
So yeah, that was definitely something that I've been noticing, and it just does feel different this time. I can see more and more people are risking livelihoods and risking friendships and risking losing of their platforms in certain ways. So, you know, I get that, and I see that, and it's inspiring me to do more and to keep the momentum and the voices, keep uplifting voices,
Yeah, and I also want to
with
remind,
rest in between.
yeah, with rest in between, we need rest and we need joy, and I'm trying to allow myself pockets of it in real life, because it's important. And
It
actually, if I
is.
hadn't had a joyous weekend, I'd be in a very different headspace right now.
Yeah, you won't be able to sustain, it's not sustainable
No, and
to
I
run on
learned the hard
empty.
way last June.
Same, same.
It was not good. But I do want to remind people as well, like, because I think it ha it unfortunately does need reminding, is that obviously anti-Semitism is not okay, and do not use the oppression and ethnic cleansing and apartheid that is happening in Palestine and to the Palestinian people as an excuse to be anti-Semitic. And to further
Exactly.
that, like, that is obviously not okay. It's never been okay. And if you're using that to be anti-Semitic, you can fuck off as well, because you're not helping anybody.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I have a lot of love for the Jewish community, and I know that, like, when my parents emigrated here, like many parents that emigrated to the UK, it was often those that are, you know, Jewish communities that were already here that helped other, I guess, those from the Islamic faith settle too, because there's so much in common, and so much common ground,
There is.
and yeah, so I've always had a lot of love, you know, for the community. The Jewish community, because I feel like when you're a fish out of water, you look for things that are familiar and welcoming, that help make that transition. And I think that has been important in here, as you know, here as well. So yeah, I just wanted to say that.
Also, I did forget to say that there is a movement, I think they're called Break the Silence, a group of former IDF soldiers who speak about the atrocities that they themselves or the IDF have committed.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, breaking the silence.
Yeah, let's link that. That'll be good
Yep,
to look
and I
into.
think it's quite powerful. And again, their voices are being silenced, ironically, because they're powerful, and to hear that narrative, and anybody who refuses, because it's compulsory to do 2 years in the IDF as a citizen of
Yeah, people
Israel.
that refuse, they get thrown in jail.
They get imprisoned. So yeah. So
Yeah.
some of your favorite actors have also done that training. FYI, look it up. Oh yeah, do you know what? I can't believe I didn't speak to this because you know how much I hate Scarlett Johansson, and now I can say about why I hate her so much. Basically, she was an ambassador for Oxfam, and she decided to do a campaign with SodaStream, Oxfam, and its supporters, like myself at the time, were like not happy. So so Scarlett Johansson basically decided to step down as ambassador for Oxfam and instead be the face of SodaStream. So you can Google this as well. This wasn't even that long ago.
Wow, what
Just a few
a
years ago.
dick.
Yeah, she's a shithead.
So what other actors do we need to be aware of that have done this?
And a
Oh,
woman.
Gal Gadot.
Gal Gadot, is that it? No, she's Gal
Yeah.
Gadot. It's,
Gadot,
yeah.
is it?
I don't, I'm not even gonna Google her, then it'll come in my Google search.
Oh.
But anyway, yeah, so she's very pro she supports the right wing settler colonialist Israeli government.
Ugh.
Outwardly. You can Google it. Also, I found that link. It was Theresa May who she created a new definition of anti-Semitism to include criticism of Israel.
Did that get like legitimized in any way, or was that just a suggestion?
No. It is. It's part of, like, it is le legitimized. Do, 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 do. Yeah, Prime Minister Theresa May. So this was in 2016, but it hasn't changed because we're still under a conservative government. That the UK is formally adopting a definition of anti-Semitism agreed on earlier this year. It says by the International Holocaust Remembrance
Oh,
Alliance.
right,
This
okay.
definition is not new, however, and it poses a familiar threat to legitimate criticism of the state of Israel. I think it is important that we
I think it's,
understand that the Tory
yeah.
government is in support, by ways of providing arms and weapons to
Yeah,
Israel
for sure.
alongside, the US. And other countries, hello, Saudi Arabia, rather goodbye. You should be ashamed of
Yeah.
yourselves, like, other Muslim countries. But they also are saying that you will not criticize Israel, and if you do, you will be sort of denied that right to speak up against them because you'll be called anti-Semitic. So this is where, why people fear it, because the fear isn't a fear, it's a legitimate reality that can happen to people. I'm not sure how you'll want to edit that, but because it's a bit tricksy.
Yes, but it is not legally binding. That's the thing. It's not been written into law. So, although the government have adopted that definition, if you were somebody that was vocal, say in the workplace, or you happen to mention it,
Oh, that's an important
maybe.
distinguish.
Like if you went to a protest and you mentioned it to your colleagues that you were at, because I'm trying to think about like this has happened to people that I know when they've stood up for things at work, and it's happened to me, where I've people have questioned me. But like, say you went to attend a protest and you mentioned it to your colleague, and then one of your colleagues thought that you were being anti-Semitic for attending a Free Palestine, action. Excuse me. Let me start again. For attending a Free Palestine, action protest, it isn't, it's a non-legally binding working definition of
Okay.
anti-Semitism. And I think that that is really important to
So people
call
don't
out.
feel powerless.
Yeah, it's not been
Yeah.
written into law. And I think that that's why I was asking, because I want
Okay.
it to be super clear where people
Yes.
stand.
Yes, thank you for clarifying that, because I
No,
think it
it's
is important.
okay.
No, I think it is really important, because obviously then that can't be held people against people,
Exactly.
but
Although they'll fucking try, but
they
by
will try.
the sounds of this, and I think it's really scary to have a government that have gone to the effort. It's not even like they've gone through the effort of making sure this is front and center in their .gov website. That it is, for all the things that they could put energy into, they've put energy into that specific. And it was around the time, so 2016 was around the time that there was a lot of criticism of the Labour Party, but particularly Jeremy Corbyn's leadership and him being called an anti-Semite. And he's always stressed that he's not anti-Semitic, but he's also in the same breath, and rightly so, criticized the Israeli government. And I think that has been held against him and has always been like a thorn in many people's sides,
It's been
and
it's
unfortunately to his own undoing.
It's wild to me to have these conversations out loud. Like, I'm not even joking. It feels like I've been part of a secret society or something, a Palestinian solidarity. And because you can't say these things out loud normally, because you do get doxxed and because you get labeled an anti-Semite, and it just isn't true. It just isn't the reality, because I did, anybody who uses religion to oppress or murder people, it's like, it's not, you're not, it's not a religious cause. It's not a religious cause. And I think really people, if you are feeling conflicted within, then there are so many people right now speaking up on it. And, I will not stand for anti-Semitism, because I have experienced Islamophobia, and it's the same beast. The same people who hate Muslims are the same people who hate Jews. Like, it's not okay. It just isn't okay. And I feel very passionate about that, because I think religion in general is something that a lot of people, especially as immigrants, have had to suppress.
Yeah, they've had to grapple it or hide it in some sort of shameful way, or and we've spoken about sort of religious and cultural identity before, and what that means, and it's really insidious.
And I think, I mean, it does feed into this like larger thing. Like, you have to see other forms of it, where, like in France, they're banning the hijab for women who, you're not even allowed to go on the school run, I believe.
No, it's a school trip,
School
so
trip,
you
that's
can't go on a
it,
school trip with your own
with
child if you're
if you're
wearing a
wearing a
hijab.
hijab. And children in schools are not allowed to wear hijab. And they refuse to do a halal option for kids in school.
I feel like punching people.
And so when they don't do it, they do a, so if they're doing pork and then there's nothing else, then there's
They just have
nothing.
veggies.
No, they'll have nothing then. Like, what are they going to eat? You know, I don't
That's
know what
cruel.
the food
Isn't
is.
that cruel?
It is, but this is like, it's all part of the same thing. Also, Jewish people, they don't eat pork.
I know. I know.
So it's like you're not only affecting Muslim students who are going to these schools. Like if you're, you know, if you're not going to a religious specific school, you know, these sort of things pop up in little ways in the workplace. You know, like you've mentioned before about the work nights out when it's just centered around alcohol, centered
Literally.
around like that kind of activity. And it excludes, it would exclude, I bet, many Jewish people as well who don't drink. Any
Yep.
and other people who don't drink, they're
Yeah,
sober. People who don't
exactly.
drink for health reasons, you don't
Yeah,
even
or
know. And so
exactly.
it's like this whole centering again of whiteness. It is that, and it pops out and then is emboldened by these other policies and semantics and all of these kind of things where you're just so constricted, and then you have to suppress so many facets of yourself. Honestly, I can't stand it. I like,
Exhausting.
there's nothing better than seeing people step into the wholeness and fullness of themselves and be like, I am this, and this is how I want to show up, and I'm not going to sort of bend to that, and I shouldn't have to. And I, you know, people should always feel safe to show up as themselves, whether they want to wear a skull cap or a hijab, or whether they want to wear a turban, you know, whether they want to have a long beard, whether they want head wraps, whether they want locks, all of these things. Like if you look at it, it's oppressing anybody who wants to have any kind of self-expression
of is
of
anyone who
religion
wants to live in their fullness of
or
their
faith.
humanity,
Yeah, exactly.
period.
And it is, and it is denied. And yeah, so
yeah,
it is in, it's interconnected, dudes. It's interconnected, folks.
It's
So we
all
need to,
connected.
It is all connected. So there we go.
Thank you, Ritha. Ritha, I just wanted to say thank you so much for talking about this. I know it couldn't have been easy, and I did say before we started recording that I would, you know, I'm following your lead, and you can go as deep or as long or as short as you want. And we're
Yeah.
standing at like 1 hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it's all good stuff. And I think I was really keen for you to, and I wanted to ask you these questions because I know it's been something that you've been carrying for a long time, and you're seeing this almost watershed moment, you know, happening. So I just wanted to say thank you for always being a strong and resolute voice. And whether you realize it or not, you know, you've had ripple effects. You've created a ripple effect, you know, certainly with me, and no doubt with many of your other family members and friendships and relationships as a result of, you know, you standing up for Palestine. So thank you so much. And thank you for sharing.
I'm so proud
being
that
so
I
generous.
I didn't cry. Not that it's not okay to cry, but usually when I'm speaking about Palestine, like I just become a blubbering, because it's the injustice of it for me, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just like, what? I can't fathom it. And so to see it now, people speaking up together and speaking up again, you know, and I do think it needs to be said that anti-Semitism is wrong, because I know that people are going to use it as a way to weaponize this sort of movement, this peaceful movement, this important movement. And like, so I feel like it's important to say that, because I know that people will do it. And the same thing I will say about is Islamophobia. Don't use the fact that some Palestinians are Muslim to not support them.
Yeah, exactly.
So that is Islamophobic and it's racist, okay? I also really like, Sarah Shulman observes a continuum that inflated accusations of harm are used to avoid accountability. Like, for me, it's a really powerful mini sentence, because that's exactly what it is and what you see. This is like the propaganda that is being perpetuated right now, you know, that they're inflating accusations of harm and are used to avoid accountability.
Yep, I think that's bang on.
In a succinct way, I'll just put it in inverted commas, but Hamas.
I know. Okay,
and then I've shared these resources. They're in my highlight of Palestine on my profile. So, which sort of delve into that, if you would like to watch or read.
I will. I will definitely dive into that. I had a skim read, but I will dive into that. I also saved a highlight yesterday because I just didn't want it to disappear. I feel like there's a lot of traction.
Yeah.
And I wanted to keep that front and center as well. So thank you.
No, it's okay. It's okay. Thank you for allowing me. I always feel excited, which is, I think is a bit wrong. It's probably the wrong tone.
Maybe
word.
It's exhilarated rather
it's
than
empowering.
Excited.
Yeah. It's empowering.
Like strengthened and emboldened.
Yes. Yeah. It just feels liberating.
And I'm happy and I'm glad, and I will continue to look to you as well as Palestinian voices. But I think I do look to you as someone where we share, you know, we share the same, we're part of the same diaspora. Mm-hmm. I do look for voices within my own community as well as from those that are being affected directly, because it's like, it's good to follow your lead for someone that has always, I say always, but certainly for the last decade and more, you know, been so not just vocal, but so present in that movement. So thank you so much for just taking the time to sort of explain your experiences directly with the movement, but also, you know, giving us some real tangible like insights. I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're the sweetest. Love you.
I love you all. So let's get to
Fool of the week. Which one to choose? So many fools.
Okay. I went up for a different rhythm. So many. I feel like you were more jazz and I was more like pop.
We need to actually record this one day.
Shall I record it on a keyboard?
Yeah.
I could, you know.
I could do it on Rockstar, Bandstar, is it called? Rock Band.
Garage Band.
That's it. Rock Band.
Rock Band, Rockstar. Rock.
Yeah. What's it called? Garage Band.
Garage Band.
I mean, that's not any better, really, is it?
No, it's not. Fool of the Week, who is it?
Well, we wanted to put in quite a few people. I wanted to put in...
Let's just list them.
Boris. Yeah, let's just list them. I'm going to do like a little drum roll or like, you know, in Hunger Games before they'd like announce like.
Do you know what? I know what we'll do. Like we'll say the names and I'll insert like a trash noise after each one.
Okay.
And it'll just be like the trash noise.
Okay, cool.
So who's first?
Boris Johnson in his entirety, but specifically him and his stupid CCJ, which is an insult to people who are working class folks who have had CCJs and have had bailiffs knocking on their doors.
Oh,
and
but
he's
poor
just
Boris, he wants us to pay for his sofas.
Oh yeah, Boris, I'll pay for your 9,000 sofa. Like, once you've paid off my mother's debt, how about that? Okay, pay off her debt, I'll pay for your fucking sofa, Boris. Okay, so he's going in the bin.
trash.
Yeah,
right, who's next?
Isn't that
yeah?
TikTok.
Who's next?
Who is next? Oh yeah, the Biden Harris
administration.
Yeah,
trash.
Get in the bin.
Over what is it? Over 700 million.
732 million, I believe. I could be remembering it wrong.
Isn't that an insane amount of money?
I literally cannot imagine it. I can't imagine it.
It's like of disgusting proportions, but then it's not like it's going towards giving people free healthcare or any of that. No, it's not going
No,
towards
the
any of
people in the
that.
States are dying and they don't have enough, I mean, they're being racist with their vaccination rollout program as well. And yet here they are, trying to bomb 2 million people just signed off on it. So yes, they can get in the bin.
Trash.
Trash. Oh,
Anyone
who else can
else?
get in the bin? Oh, I know. Priti Patel. She can always
She's
get in the
always
bin.
in
I
there
know. I
with her little
can't.
rat friends and her raccoons.
Yeah. I hope they're starting to feed off of her body now. She's just disgusting because, I mean, now people have got these immensely empowering community centered, looking for immigration raids, posters
Oh,
and
yes.
information. And I think that, we wouldn't need that though if our Home Secretary wasn't,
A complete and utter dickhead.
a racist shithead. Because I'll call her racist. She's racist. She's disgusting. She's deplorable. So she can get in the bin always.
Trash. Trash.
Trash. Who else can get in the bin? I could put so many. Can I put
We could
Emma
put so
Barnett in?
many.
I'm putting
We should
Emma
always put Emma
Barnett.
Barnett
Emma Barnett and her
in.
banana hair.
Emma Barnett and a banana hair. Emma Barnett.
I'm sorry, I know this is really childish, but I don't
I still
care.
don't understand how she gets to
Go.
be a presenter of BBC Woman's Hour.
She's,
She's,
yeah.
ugh, she makes me ill. She gives me Katie Hopkins vibes.
She does. She does. I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, do you know who apparently is another Katie Hopkins? Rachel Riley from
I'm
Countdown.
not surprised. I've never trusted her, never liked her, and her stupid, disgusting outfits on Countdown. I'm sorry, but all of her outfits were vile. Who dressed her? I bet she chose them herself. Disgusting. Not one nice outfit,
Not
okay?
one.
Not one nice outfit. I didn't believe her whole trip of, oh, but I can be pretty and wear these skimpy outfits and be clever. Look at me do maths. I'm like, bitch, you're just stealing that idea off of actual intelligent queens, okay?
I bring her up because
Firstly,
I'm sure she's been quite
she's a
vocal about
Tory supporter.
anti-Semitism. So, really, yeah, Riley identifies herself as being of Jewish heritage, but as an atheist, and she began a campaign against the way the Labour Party, under the leadership of Jeremy Corbyn, handled allegations of anti-Semitism. So, Riley and fellow campaigner Tracy Ann Oberman, oh no, I don't like her, instructed a lawyer to take action against 70 individuals who posted tweets about Riley and Oberman regarding either as libelous or harassment. So, yeah.
She can get in the bin too.
So she can get into
Trash.
them. And probably Tracy Ann Oberman. I
Yeah.
know I don't like her
Yeah.
for but I won't talk about that.
Okay.
Because I can't talk about it without talking about other people, and I'm not doing that.
But yes, we don't like her either. She can just get in the bin. Just trust us, okay? We're just putting these people in the bin. Anybody else? We're doing like a little drum roll. Oh yeah, we should put really the right-wing settler colonialist government of Israel,
And the media
including
machines that
and the
support
media
them.
machines. Oh my goodness.
And the reason why I
Oh my
say
goodness.
that
It's
is
so
because, and
important.
we did talk about it, is just the skewing of the story and the narrative. If I say
Yeah.
skewing, it's just downright lies.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's yes. So fools of the week, trash, trash, trash. Insert bin noise here. Yeah. Oh, so
Yes.
now we get to the fun bit
I
of what we're loving. What are you loving, my dears?
am loving. Well, no, you speak. I feel like I've spoken so
No,
much.
you speak, you speak, you speak, because I think it's all linked.
Oh, well, it is. Yeah. So I'm loving the solidarity. It's just the
Yeah.
best. That last year I was not in a good place mentally whatsoever. But the thing that kind of kept me afloat was the solidarity. And seeing that same solidarity now, seeing people like specifically Black, Indigenous, trans women and women who are And you know, always a non a gender non-conforming, non-binary siblings who are showing up with the most, as always. It's always empowering and humbling to see that level of solidarity. That is what
For sure.
I look up to and aspire to sort of show up as. And it is brave. It is brave when we know how the media censors and the way that people dox others. And I think that, yeah, so the solidarity, not just for the people who have been supporting the, you know, Palestinian Free Palestine movement, but just people who are new to it even and are speaking up, and our Jewish brothers and sisters who are speaking up, and Christian brothers and sisters who are speaking up. It's just everybody doing it together. And I just think, well, I'm going to say it, but it is beautiful to see. It restores my faith in humanity over and over again, is when you see this solidarity and this kinship and realizing that it is interconnected, and that, you know, this is why it's really important to fight for Black trans women. You know, this is why it's important that they're safe, because they have always, always, always led the way, paved the way, and fought for liberation for all. And yeah, that's what I'm loving. That's what I'm loving.
Solidarity.
Solidarity, yes.
I love it.
It is tipping it down here.
It is gloriously sunny
Maybe
here.
you'll get it in about 10 minutes.
I hope not, because I need to go to the post office after this.
Oh yeah.
Need to post Arsha's birthday card.
So do I. I might give it to Chris to post. What are you loving?
What am I loving? I am loving therapy. I've only had two sessions, but it's been really good. I'm doing it's a talking one. It's basically counselling. And I got it through BetterHelp because I keep getting advertised BetterHelp on my Instagram, but also Kelechi on her podcast. Is sponsored by them. Well,
They
the
can
podcast
sponsor
are
us
sponsored.
too.
Yeah, and I wouldn't. They might have a little affiliate program, so maybe it's just a case of signing up.
Yeah. To
We'll
be
just have
honest,
a.
if they could give us a little code that we could share with our listenership, that would be really wonderful, because I know
So
it would
many would
be so
benefit.
helpful. Yeah.
Yeah, so I use the Say Your Mind discount. SYM. Yeah, I just thought I'd give it a go. And it was dead easy. I'm not spon this isn't sponsored, by the way.
But it can be sponsored with BetterHelp.
was dead easy, and you can sort of tick the things that you feel you need support with. And also you can also mention any specific things as well that you want them to be aware of. So if there's any sort of if you need someone who's specifically adept at dealing with, I don't know, religious and cultural issues, experience, you can be that specific.
It sounds really great. And like you say, quite, you know, not complicated to.
Yeah, and it's just been really, really good. Like I've really felt safe and held. I've felt like it was with somebody who was qualified. So I felt that off the bat I was being assigned somebody who is experienced. So I think that they have an array of good therapists and counselors on their roster, and they will just assign someone to you that meets your criteria within sort of 24 or 48 hours, something like that.
Oh, that's so fast as well.
Yeah, and you can set this, you set the sessions yourself, so you schedule them in, so you can use the website or the app. I use the app.
Do they offer different types of therapy as well?
So I don't think you can choose what you get, but I think it's essentially just it's counseling, but some of them may have different some therapists may have different qualifications that they may feel is appropriate to use. So I don't think it goes that deep into what kind of therapy you choose. I think that the app is really good to use. The phone calls are done directly through the app, which is really great. So it's secure, and you need a PIN to access the app, so nobody else can get in there, so it's private. And yeah, I've found that I've been able to work through some pretty big stuff, which has been great. I feel like I'm getting closure on something that I've carried for a very long time. I'm not there yet, but I feel confident in the next couple of sessions that I'll be in a really positive space, a positive place, something that I didn't know I needed until I gave myself permission to do
Oh.
it. And it's not diff it's not easy. It is hard stuff
Yeah.
to confront, but if you are held in a self safe in the most safest way possible, it can be done. And so yeah, it's been a game changer for me, and I feel like I went to bed last night just feeling content. And even
Oh.
though there are horrors going on in the world and they were also on my mind, I also felt like I was really looking after myself in that moment. I felt very proud that I'm able to give energy to so many different things because I choose myself,
Oh.
in
Yeah.
different ways every day. And this has been one of the ways that I'm choosing myself. And I really hope that if you're listening to this and you need a sign to choose yourself, let it be this, because you're always worthy of it. Of healing and joy.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think it's really important to choose ourselves and our mental well-being. And I think, as I said to you, I learned a lot from last June and being sort of in the midst of a pandemic and the uprisings and,
Yeah, that was hard. That was a hard time.
yeah. And as a non-Black person, it was hard.
Yeah,
So I
exactly.
can't imagine the kind of trauma that especially Black folks and Black folks within that identity, who are more marginalized, could feel. So I'm not trying to equate it to that, but it was personally, I was not in a good space and I was sucked in. I was hardly sleeping this time around. I've been very proactive in making sure that I am present in life, and that I am seeking joy in little moments, and I'm not denying myself that. Because if anything, when you see people who are oppressed, they try and find moments of joy, and it isn't something small. Those moments of joy that or healing that we make for ourselves are imperative to retaining our humanity,
Definitely.
because I think that is very much how it's stripped away from us.
Definitely. And you can't help anyone if you haven't helped yourself. And I'm useless if I'm running on empty. But I was also just finding, yeah, I was also just finding that, we all carry something, whether it's something that's happened in our childhood or It doesn't even have to be big things, it doesn't have to be
No,
big
no, no,
break trauma, but we carry our experiences with us,
no.
and
Yes.
sometimes what we make it mean in our head versus when we speak it out aloud and somebody helps you confront it in a different way, you might be able to rewrite that story and write new narratives. And I've certainly needed a little bit of help with something. So yeah, whatever you need help with, if you can do it, and you've got some funds, it's not wasted money. It's investment in oneself, and I just highly recommend it, because when we can show up whole, I feel like we can help others to show up whole too.
I think so. I think it's definitely been a huge learning curve for me to do that, because I'm not wired to operate in that way, to put myself first or boundary up first, and then into situations where those, where I put those sort of boundaries at risk, kind of. But if they're not implemented in there, then I can't support people in the best way possible. And I'm only able to do that once I know that they're in place, and then I know that I've got the capacity to do it. So yeah, no, I think it's really important. And it so yeah, we'll have to speak about this maybe in another episode, because I have mentioned it a couple of times to people here and there, but I'm on a waiting list to have, like, is it EMDR? EMDR
I
or
don't know.
EDMR? Do you know what? I've got a book here. This is a book that, yeah, EMDR. So it's a book that I was recommended whilst I'm waiting for this therapy. So I'm doing it through the NHS. Because I can't afford it right now, to get this privately, because it's a very specific one. I've done cat therapy before, which is cognitive analytical therapy, which was also good, and it's quite different to cognitive behavioral therapy. But yeah, so EMDR uses lights, and it gets you to talk about your trauma without talking about your trauma. So I'm just like, yes, please, because I'm really good at deflecting. So that's what I'm waiting for. And I've got this book, which I haven't read, which I've had for the last year. Because I'm like, I don't want to do that. If I could fix myself with a book, I would have done it already. But it is interesting. I have dipped into it. But anyway, I think it's really beautiful that you're speaking about it and that you're doing that for yourself. And again, I think it's empowering. And I think when we are in spaces where our humanity is reminded to us that our humanity is worth less in the eyes of some, and in the societies that we live in, I think it's even more important if we're able to access that. To have that for ourselves, to have that healing. So thank you
Definitely.
also. Oh my goodness,
Wow.
we're at the end of the episode. I'm
I
like, I don't want to
know.
go. Let's just keep talking. But
Well,
it's long enough. It's long enough. And yeah, this is episode 12. Can you believe?
is
Exciting.
insane.
It's
It's exciting.
exciting.
It's exciting. Thank you so much. Everyone who's tuned in, thank you for sticking with us. Keep sticking with us. We'll keep bringing the chai. And we'll see you next time.
Yes, and also we're going to have lots of show notes, so please do check them out. We will have links to lots of the things that we spoke about in terms of BDS and the articles. And of course, you can go to Rabia's Instagram, she flourished underscore, on my Instagram, yes. Before and Again.
At Before and Again.
At Before and Again underscore also. And we've got highlights with information that you can watch and engage in different ways. So stay well. Thank you for listening.
Bye-bye.
Bye.